Morning, we're back to our series on Can You Believe the Unbelievable? Series on faith. We've heard a few sermons now on this title. Seen those who put their faith in God in different ways. We first looked at some disciples who were told to go into town where they'd find a colt of a donkey tied. And they were to take it, and if the owner said anything, they would just tell him the Lord has need of it. That was when they were preparing for the Last Supper, before Jesus would go to the cross, before he would be beaten and ridiculed and give his life to pay for our sins. We found those disciples were faithful, and they believed that God was able to do even things that they didn't really understand. Then we saw a man named Noah who built an ark when it had never rained. And God told him to build an ark and gather up all the animals, or a pair of all the animals, and put them in the ark because it was going to flood. Noah didn't have a clue what all that meant, except for the fact that God said do it. And that's really all that matters. When God says do it, that's all we need to know. Then the last one was 2 weeks ago when we looked at a man named Abram. God told Abram to get up from where he was at, to leave his homeland and his family, and to go to a place that he would show him. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, get up and go, and I'll tell you where to go. And Abram was obedient to that. Abram, like you and I, he struggled with some of those things. He, God had promised him that his seed or his descendants would be more numerable than the particles of dust on the earth. That's a whole lot. More than the stars in the sky. And Abram's descendants would be that many. And Abram, of course, didn't know how he was going to do that. He struggled with that. And he even tried to help him out a few times. Like he didn't know if God was able to, didn't know if God knew what he was going to be going through. Remember, he told Sarah to tell people that she was his brother, or she was his sister, not his wife, so because he was afraid they'd kill him to take her. He didn't obviously had a lapse of memory of God's ability and trying to help God out. And then remember Sarai, because they had no children, Sarai said, well, maybe you need to go in to my maid Hagar and have a child with her, trying to help God out. God didn't need their help, but they were getting old, and they knew that they were really too old to have children. But God, as he always does, he came through. Isaac was born, and then Abram, of course, his name by now has changed to Abraham, and her name was changed to Sarah, to Sarah from Sarai. And so God told him to take his only son, this promised son Isaac, and offer him on the altar as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham was obedient in that. He took him, and just as he drew back to take Isaac's life, God stopped him, and he had provided a lamb. God will always, we've found out, God will always supply the need, whatever the need is. And God did it there, as he always does. We don't know what the end result is, what it will be when God calls us to do something that might seem unbelievable or even impossible, but God knows. He is always right. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord, for them who are the called according to His purpose. And so we know that God is aware of what's going on, and it's going to work out for good. It's hard for us to see that sometimes. It's hard for us to see the good when we're going through a tough time. But I promise you, God has not forgotten us, and He will take care of us if we will just do what He's called us to do. This morning, I want to look with you again in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel this morning, we're looking at 1 Samuel, and we're going to be looking in chapter 16 and 17, looking at an example of what God can do through a young man. Too many people don't think God can use our children, although we have several examples in Scripture where children are used by God to reveal His miraculous abilities. And this is one of them that we're looking at this morning. This boy, young boy named David, he was the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. But God had chosen to use him. To give us a little background and set the stage for where we are this morning, this morning's message, back over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we find where Saul, who was Israel's king, was not completely obedient to do what God had told him to do. God had told him to destroy the Amalekites, to destroy all of them and all of their livestock, not to save anything or anybody. Saul and his army went in, and they did destroy the Amalekites, but they saved the king of Amalek, Agag, alive, and they also saved a lot of the sheep and the lambs and the things that were good. In their eyes, they saved. But that's not what God told him to do. God told him to destroy the Amalekites completely, everyone and everything that they had. And so Saul was obedient, disobedient to what God had told him to do, because he just partially obeyed. Sometimes we partially obey, but we don't completely obey. And because of that, Saul was rejected as king. God rejected him. And so then in chapter 16, we see that God actually anoints David, a young boy, shepherd boy. But he anoints him as king there. And it's recorded in chapter 16 where he told Samuel to go and anoint the one that he would show him. It was going to be one of Jesse's sons. And so Jesse brought all 7 of the 8 sons by. And they thought, surely each one, every time they bring one, they thought, surely this is it. And God said, no, that's not him. And when they had brought 7 of the 8 by, and God rejected them, Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? Is this all you have? He said, well, I got one little boy, but he's out taking care of the sheep. And he said, well, bring him in, call him. And so David was brought in, and God said, he's the one. And so he was actually anointed king. He became Saul's armor bearer. He would, because of Saul's incomplete obedience, God had put an evil spirit on him. When that evil spirit came on Saul, he would do some crazy things. And so David would come and play the harp. And when he played the harp, Saul would calm down and fell in love with David. And so David became his armor bearer. And that brings us up to chapter 17. Where we want to look this morning at where David was really obedient to do what God had called him to do, and we see another impossibility that takes place. God miraculously comes through. in chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, we find where this champion of the Philistines named Goliath challenges the Israelites, the army of Israel. The Israelites were in the valley of Elah, set to fight the Philistines. The Israelites were over on one mountain on one side of the valley. The Philistines were on the other side, on a mountain on the other side of the valley. And they would come together in the valley to fight. And so, as they came out, a champion of the Philistines, whose name was Goliath, came out to challenge the Israelites. Now, he was a pretty good-sized boy. He was 9 foot 9 inches tall. That's pretty good size. He'd make a pretty good basketball player, wouldn't he, Wade? And we think about that, but it's hard for us to imagine anybody that size. When I was down at Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, where I pastored prior to coming here, we had a lady who actually made a Goliath, life-size Goliath. And it was amazing to be able to stand there and look at that life-size Goliath. It was impressive as the children were able to see actually how tall he was. You know, we had him stood up on the outside of the building and his head's up above the roof. So, pretty good sized boy, you know, 9 foot 9 inches tall. He was armed heavily. He had a brass helmet on his head. His coat of mail weighed 125 pounds, just his coat weighed 125 pounds. He had brass leggings, a breast shield between his shoulders, and the iron head on his spear, just the head on his spear, weighed 15 pounds. And so he kept coming out. Every day he'd come out and he'd challenge the Israelites. And his challenge to them was, if you'll send somebody to fight me, if they can kill me, then the Philistines will be your servants. If I kill him, then the Israelites will be servants of the Philistines. The Israelites will be servants to the Philistines. And so that was a challenge. He said, I defy the children of Israel. So, and what happened? Every time he came out, the Israelites were scared to death. When Goliath would make his challenge, the Israelites would get scared and run. Just at his challenge. As he challenged them. In verse 24 there, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. That means they scared to death, you know. They ran from him because they were afraid of him. They didn't think there was any way that they could defeat this giant called Goliath. And so this was a challenge that was given day after day after day. Well, David's tending his sheep, and so Jesse sends David to check on his brothers. There were at least three of his brothers that were in the battle there. And you see that in verses 12 through 19, where he was sent, where Jesse sent him to take some victuals and basically to check on his brothers. The three eldest brothers were in the war. Their names were Eliab, the firstborn, And the second one was Abinadab, and then the third was Shammah. They were all three in the battle. And David, who was the youngest of their brothers, went to take some things to them and to check on them. Jesse said, carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and look how the brethren fare. He sent some an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves with them for the brothers. And he said, go and see how your brothers are doing. See how they're faring there. And so David, being a good son, obedient to his dad, he takes these victuals and things to his brothers and to the captain, and he goes to check on them. When he gets there, he hears Goliath making his challenge. But he wasn't like the rest of them. It didn't scare him to death. He said, what do you mean? Challenging my God, you know, the God of Israel. Because when you challenge God's people, you challenge God. And he said, no, that don't fly. That's not going to work. I'm not scared of you. And so David then begins to question the other men to make sure that he understands what all's going on. The men said in verse 25, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man that who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this man who has the gall to challenge God? And that's what David's saying. Well, it upset his brothers because you know how it is. Sometimes we feel like our little baby brother don't know anything, and he's just trying to stick his nose where it don't need to be stuck, and that's what his older brothers are thinking. And so Eliab, his older brother, heard him when he was talking to these men, and it made him mad against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with who have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, and thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He said, you just nosy, you want to come down here and see what's going on. Why? You need to be back home. You need to be taking care of daddy's sheep. That's your responsibility. That's what you've been told to do. And you don't have any business down here. You didn't understand what was going on. David had left the sheep, but he had left them with a keeper to do what his dad had told him to do. And so, and he didn't let what his brothers were saying, the fact that his brothers didn't like him being there, he didn't let that bother him any more than he let Goliath's challenge bother him. He knew that God was able to take care of the situation, and that he didn't like anybody challenging his God. And that's basically what he saw when he saw Goliath challenging the children of Israel, because that was God's people. And so he saw that as Goliath challenging his God, and he didn't like that. He would not stand for that. And so as he talked to these men, some of them went to Saul and said, hey, there's a little boy out there that said he'll go he'll go out there and fight Goliath. And so Saul sent for him. And he came in and talked to Saul. And Saul said, you're not able to go and fight this man, this warrior. There in picking up in verses 29 and following. Saul said in verse 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He said, you're just a little boy. This is not no place for you. You can't go up against that giant. This is all he's ever done is fight. And you've never fought. You know? And so David said, wait a minute. He said, I've kept my father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and took one of the lambs, he said, I caught them by the beard and took the lamb from them, and I slew the lion and I slew the bear with my bare hands. I may be a little boy, but I'm doing God's work, and God's able to take care of things. And so Saul agreed. He said, okay, if you want to go fight him, you can fight him. Saul gave him all his armor, put it on him, and David said, there ain't no way I can fight with this. I can't fight with it. I've never tried this. I've never done anything with all this on. I can't do that. I don't need that. And so he took it all off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. He said, I don't need all that armor. This is God's battle. You know, I don't need to try to put on a bunch of stuff that's going to weigh me down and hold me back, because I'm not really the one fighting this battle anyway. This is God's battle, not mine. We need to understand that when we're serving the Lord and we're doing what He's called us to do, and He sends us into something, it's not our battle, it's His battle. And He's going to be victorious if we will be obedient to what He tells us to do. And so, David said, I'm ready. And so he goes, he gets his 5 smooth stones, he's got his slingshot and his staff, and he goes up against the Philistine. Verse number 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. You see, Goliath didn't only have all this armor on himself. He also had an armor bearer that went ahead of him as a shield ahead of him to protect him. He's going to need more than that, because he's going up against God's man. He's going up against God. And so all the defense that he's got is not going to do him any good, because you can't win when you go against God. Verse 42 says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he belittled him. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He said, boy, you ain't nothing. I'm fixing to feed you to the vultures. You can't come up against me. Didn't scare David. David said, you ain't got to worry about me. You got to worry about the God I serve. Because the God I serve is going to take care of you. Don't worry about me. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David didn't go in there and say, you know, I'm big, bad David, you know, I'm going to kill you. He went in there and said, this ain't my battle. You are fighting against the God that you've defied, and I want you to know, and everybody else is going to know, that there is a God in Israel, and that he is bigger than 9 foot 9 inches tall. He's bigger than anything you can put up against him. He will win this battle. And so it came to pass, verse 48 says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David was not the least bit scared. David wasn't shaking in his boots or his sandals. David knew that the God he served was going to win this battle. And rather than being hesitant, David ran towards Goliath. He put a stone in that sling and he slung it around, and when he released that rock, it hit Goliath right between the eyes. Goliath hit the ground with a big thud, dead, because God was the one that was in control. Goliath did not do any harm to David, none whatsoever. This little boy David, who was obedient to God, killed Goliath. Then he went, and he didn't have a sword with him, so he ran up there and just ran right up on Goliath and grabbed the sword out of Goliath's sheath and cut Goliath's head off and took it with him, because he took it back to Saul to show him God won this battle. God took care of this problem. God will take care of your problems. He will take care of your Goliaths. Just like he took care of this Goliath that was fighting. Verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this? It was Jesse's son. And so David brought the Philistine Goliath's head to Saul and gave it to him. And Saul said to him, whose son are you? And David answered, I'm the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And so we see that God uses young people. So don't ever think God can't use a young person. Don't think God can't use you, no matter how old or young you might be. God can, but He needs our willingness. We need to be available to Him. We're all fighting giants in our life every day. We're facing giants. We're facing our Goliaths. So what Goliaths are you facing today? Is God able to serve, to defeat him? Is the God you serve able to defeat your Goliaths? Maybe it's a bad habit, an addiction, something God's calling you to do and you just hadn't been able to move on and do it because the Goliath called doubt is standing in the way. And you need God to help you to defeat that Goliath, that giant of doubt. Maybe it's peer pressure. You know, Satan's always telling us, you can't do that. Or you don't need to do that. It ain't worth that. You know? There are a lot of Goliaths. There are a lot of giants in our lives that we can't defeat within ourselves. David couldn't defeat Goliath by himself. If he'd gone out there just in the flesh and went out there and said, I'm going to kill this Goliath, he would have wound up being defeated. He didn't go out there that way. He went as God's representative. He didn't take credit for anything. He said, this is God's battle, and God's the one that's going to give you to me. God's the one that's going to kill you. God's the one that's going to defeat you. God's the one that's going to win this battle. And if we go into our battles with that attitude, you know, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's yours. I'm in your favor. I'm your servant. You just use me. But it's your battle. And you're going to win the battle. How about it today? Are you fighting some Goliaths? Some giants? And you just haven't been able to be victorious because you've been trying to fight them by yourself. You're trying to take care of it with your own abilities, your own talents. It don't work that way. You need to turn it over to God and let your Goliath know, this ain't my battle. This is God's battle. You have challenged the God that I serve. And the God that I serve is bigger than that. So you're going down. Whatever that Goliath is, whatever that giant is, that is standing in the way of you doing what God's called you to do. Father, I love you and thank you today for loving us. I thank you that we're not in this battle alone. Lord, this battle, this spiritual warfare that we're fighting against Satan every day of our lives. God, every day of our lives we face some type of giants. Lord, it may be in peer pressure. It may be in some habit that we're hanging on to. Whatever it is that keeps us from being everything that you have called us to be, God, help us to say to that giant that's standing in our way, giant, this is not my battle. You're not fighting Mike McVeigh. You're not fighting me, whatever my name is. You are fighting against the God that I serve. And the God that I serve is bigger than that. The God that I serve will defeat you. The God that I serve is not a winner, not a loser. He always wins. And so if you stand against the God that I serve, then you're going down. It's not me that you got to worry about. It's the God I serve. God, help us put our faith in you and to realize that no matter how big that giant looks, nothing is impossible with you. With God, all things are possible. Thank you that we serve a God who has no limitations, a God who is always victorious. We thank you for that. Lord, now I pray as you speak to people, Lord, as you move, Holy Spirit, drawing people to make decisions, Lord, I pray that we not hinder that, but that we would step out on faith, do exactly what you've called us to do this morning. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. If you're facing a giant this morning, don't be discouraged. The God who is the creator of all things, the God who loves you enough that he was willing to give his only begotten Son to die on a cruel cross on Calvary, that God loves you enough that he will fight your battles, but he's not going to take him away from you. You've got to give him to him. You have to surrender it to him, to surrender his will. Do that this morning. Will you give him your battles? Turn them over to him. Let him fight those battles. There's one who's never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Satan keeps trying to discourage you and telling you, you don't want to do that. You don't want to surrender your life. You don't want to give up your life to serve God. Satan's a liar and a loser. Don't listen to him. Don't believe him. He's a liar. That'd be the best choice that you ever made, is to really genuinely surrender your heart and life to Christ. Maybe you're here, God's called you to be a part of this church. You need to do that. Maybe there's something else he's called you to do. Be involved in a particular ministry. Whatever God has called you to do, don't hold back. Remind Satan, this is not my battle, it's the Lord's. Thank you for being here this morning. Don't forget, we'll be back at 6 o'clock.